Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, April 19th, and appreciate you tuning in. Hope you had a great day yesterday on the Lord's Day, and we did here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. I'm telling you, I rejoice in the Lord. We had a number of visitors. I mean, probably 10 or 12 visitors with us yesterday. And then the Lord showed up and helped us in the sermon, and we had a good time. Now, we just had morning services, didn't have evening services because yesterday was my birthday. I turned 55 years old yesterday. They gave me a birthday party here at the church, or really just a dinner and a cake. And so we had a good time, but we didn't have a PM service because of that. But God met with us yesterday morning, and I thank the Lord for it. Amen. And then Brother Bell sent me a text and then later called me last night, and God met with them in their anniversary service yesterday, and they had two or three saved by the good grace of God. Amen. People making decisions on the altar and coming and doing business with God. Praise God. What a blessing. So keep them in prayer there at the Sooner Rose Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma as well. All right. Before we go to the message, I've got a good song queued up here that I believe will be a blessing to you. It's talking about the fact that our God has not changed. Now, this is an old recording, and it's a little bit jarbled with the audio a little bit, but I believe it'll be a blessing to you as you listen to these ladies from Victory Baptist Church sing a song entitled, God Has Not Changed. Well, amen. We are continuing our study this week of Matthew chapter number 7, and we're still in the Sermon on the Mount study series, but we are looking at verses 1 through 11 for today's program and focusing specifically on verse number 7. We've been talking about our Lord's counsel, different kinds of counsel that he gave. We talked about his counsel about prejudice and his counsel about preferment. Now, today's message, still going to have some repeat that we might be able to, you know, look back over and get the understanding, but we're going to be beginning looking at our Lord's counsel on prayer. That's from Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 7 particularly, our Lord's counsel on prayer. So I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Matthew chapter number 7. My intention today is to just do an introduction in this text and show how it fits. I believe the way Christ, I don't believe these are just statements hodgepodge pulled out and thrown together. Like maybe, for example, the Proverbs, some of those are that way. These are connected. This is one sermon. And so it would make sense to me that a sermon ought to be connected. It's not just random thoughts put together. Sometimes it is, but it's not really supposed to be random thoughts. It has a flow. And I believe this sermon of our Lord does, and I believe we'll see that in the text. I want to be able to point that out this morning to you. All right, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, as we've already covered verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read also verse 7 through 11, but I'm starting with verse number 1. The Bible says, judge not. A lot of people, that's where they stop. but that's not where the Bible stops. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? By the way, he didn't fuss about noticing the mote in thy brother's. Just, he said you noticed it, but you didn't notice yours. The problem was you didn't notice yours. All right, verse number 4. Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. First, again, he didn't say don't ever deal with problems. No, he said deal with yours first. There's an order to it. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now here's our new text. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?
Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I said these verses 7 through 11 deal with prayer. I'm primarily going to deal with verse 7 because it's an introduction message. Lord willing, perhaps next Sunday morning we'll look at these other verses as well and look at the whole thing. But as we've been studying Christ's Sermon on the Mount, we've seen many, numerous comments and commandments that come from our Lord that have gone cross-grain with what I'll call our human nature, our carnal being. His statements, such as, blessed are the poor in heart, the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, on and on. His statements go cross-grain to our way of thinking and to our flesh. And even that's in chapter number 5. Also in chapter number 6, we see those, and we have already in chapter number 7, things that cut cross-grain against our mentality maybe, or the way we would naturally think. But Christ upholds and presents a righteousness that far exceeds and excels that of even the Pharisees, the most religious, as far as they were concerned, people in their society. These scribes and Pharisees, let me get the word right, they dominated the horizon of the religious world in that day. And yet Christ warned us in chapter number 5 and verse 20, if you want to look over there, Christ warned us, he said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Brother Bell mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. I've mentioned it in the messages dealing with the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a kingdom message. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And he's preaching this at the outset of his earthly ministry, because the nation of Israel was looking for a kingdom, but not a spiritual kingdom. They was looking for a physical kingdom. That's what he mentioned that tied that thought in my mind. And a lot of people, all they see and all they think about are earthly blessings. Never thinking about heavenly blessings. As a matter of fact, if I can't have it now, what good is it to me? That's their mentality. By the way, that was the mentality of Esau. Amen. Got to have it now. I don't care about the future. And what good's a blessing to me in the future if I can't have what I want now? That's the mentality of the day in which we're living. And God called him a profane man. Amen. And God turned him out really as reprobate concerning religion and the things of God. But our world is looking for an earthly kingdom. And Christ, the Jews were doing that, and they're still doing it today. Not just Jews, but everybody, it seems to me, like a multitude of people, the majority of people, are looking for a physical kingdom, an earthly kingdom. Christ is, in the very first message, laying out to them, these are spiritual principles. These are high above. These are far beyond what maybe you've thought about and maybe you've represented in your mind in the past. Amen. And really, I'll be honest with you, in our mentality of pointing people to Christ, it's not just about immediate satisfaction. It's not just about get this guilt off me, get this sin load off me, get this shadow of death off me, get this looming condemnation off of me. That's not what salvation's about. Salvation is looking to God and giving yourself to Him, not just for time, but for eternity. But not just for eternity, but for time too. Amen. It's not just, God, I want to sign this insurance policy, and so when I die, I want you to take care of everything. No. It's coming to Christ as Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's coming to Christ as Lord. And that is true. That we got to come to Him with an earthly picture, but far beyond an earthly picture. We got to have that eternity and heaven in view. Well, Christ had also stated not only that the righteous that He's going to demand has got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. But he also spoke emphatically that he did not come to lower the standard of God's holy law, but he came to fulfill it, and by fulfilling it, exalt that standard. Look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Our Lord said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. When he said the law and the prophets, that's dealing with all the Old Testament scriptures. That's what they called the Old Testament scriptures. You remember when our Lord spoke and gave that story of Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, cried out to Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. If he couldn't get him to come bring a drop of water, he said, send him to my five brethren that they might hear. And you know what Abraham said? They have Moses and the prophets. That's the Old Testament. It's the same thing our Lord said when he said the law and the prophets. But Christ did not come to lower the standard of God's holy law, but rather to exalt that standard by fulfilling it. Amen. And then Christ went about from chapter 5 on in the rest of chapter 5, and then in chapter 6, he comes dealing with the erroneous manner in which the scribes and the Pharisees had twisted and had incorrectly taught and had misapplied the principles of God's scripture. He talks about, you've heard it said of them of old, but this is what I say. And so he wasn't correcting the Bible, he was correcting their interpretation, their twist, their slant on the Bible. Amen. To use a word we use a lot of times today, their spin on the Bible. Amen. And in each case, Christ gave clear and precise statements, sometimes in parabolic examples, that would correct the teaching and the application of God's Word and God's holy will. Amen. So Christ would say, this is what they did wrong. This is what I want you to do. And as he went along in that, we've studied that so far for some time. I think you understand where we're at. But he moves along into chapter 6, and he starts giving some counsel and some direction. And it's moving the thought along. So that's where I'm going, trying to get you to see the train of thought. He said, you gotta look above this. We gotta go above what the Pharisees have said. We're not gonna lower the standard, we're gonna exalt the standard, and the standard's gonna be fulfilled. And so he comes along next, and he says, you gotta have a right focus on things. You gotta have your heart focused, not on earthly things, but on heavenly things. Let your treasures not be on earth, but let your treasures be in heaven. Your heart focused. But not only your heart focused, have your head focused right. He says, take no thought of the morrow. And he goes about all these things that we worry about. And so he said, keep your heart focused, keep your head focused. And I believe he's dealing with your spirit, your spiritual eyesight being focused also on those heavenly things. And he deals with that over and over in chapter number 6 and then coming right up into chapter number 7, verses 1 through 6 that we've covered so far. He's dealing in these verses, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. He's dealing with precise judgment issues that we're going to have to make discernment about. He's dealing with some spiritual discernments that, by the way, are going to be impossible, totally impossible by purely human abilities and human perspective of the carnal mind. If you're going to judge correctly, you can't judge with a carnal mind. If you're going to help anybody, somebody that's got a mote in their eye, if you're going to help them, the only way you're ever going to help them is to look beyond earthly things and get some help from God yourself. Amen. The only way you're going to deal with that big beam you're carrying around is look at some heavenly things.
That's right.
Amen. It's amazing to me at how we, it's human, how we have a natural tendency and a great ability to justify ourselves. It's amazing. People that did what we're doing was wrong, but now we're all right. That's our mentality. We can work it around that in our thoughts. They were wrong when they did it, but it's all right for me to do it now. Amen. And sometimes it's because I'm paying them back. I'm giving them a taste of their own medicine. That's not any good. Amen. But so our Lord's, as he's pulling this teaching along, he has come to chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, and he's dealing with some spiritual discernment and some spiritual precise judgments that we'll never be able to do by just human perspective, thoughts from a carnal mind. Amen. We will never be able to discern the beam. We won't even see it. We'll look around it, he said. We won't be able to discern the beam. We won't be able to dispel the beam. It's in our own eye if we don't get connected with heavenly things. We'll never be able to discharge and get rid of the mote in our brother's eye. Amen. If we're not going to see our own, there's no way we're going to help somebody else. That's his point. You won't get that by purely human cognizance, just human knowledge. These are spiritual things. This is spiritual work. It demands a spiritual knowledge. Amen. If we're going to apply these teachings of our Lord. Listen, these are more than just beautiful words. Thank God the King James Bible are beautiful words. If for no other reason, I don't understand why everybody's wanting to destroy the King's English. Why they're wanting to destroy the King. They say we can't understand it. But then they brag how beautiful Shakespeare sounds when he's using King James English. If for no other reason, just for the art of it, you'd think they'd want to be maintaining the King James Bible. But can I say, this is more than just beautiful words. It's more than just catchy phrases. Judge not that you be not judged. Cast not your pearls before the swine. Now, those are some catchy phrases, but they're more. They go way into the spiritual realm. And we're not going to be able to handle them properly if we don't get in the spiritual realm. And so he's dealing with this knowledge that's beyond our knowledge. This spiritual work that's beyond our ability, unless we have a spiritual desire to be of assistance. Amen. I say this is not only spiritual work, this is detailed spiritual work. I mentioned, and I used Brother Bell as an example, if I went over and tried to get a mote out of his eye. A mote's a very small thing, and an eye is a very tender part of your body. Man. And to try to get that mote out, I mentioned just a few things. I'm not going to run over it all, but you got to get close to them. You got to be careful. You got to be trusted. Amen. You got to be delicate in how you're dealing. These are very intense and detailed spiritual labors. If we're going to help our brother, not judge him in a wrong judgment, but be an actual help to our brother in need, we're going to have some spiritual help. If we're going to not cast our pearls before the swine, if we're not going to give that which is holy to the dogs, we're going to have to know something that goes beyond human knowledge. We're going to have to be able to see something that goes beyond human perspective. And so Christ opens the door and says, ask. Amen. Ask. Seek and knock. And so I see that these things come together as this is our spiritual toolkit, if I can say it that way. These are our spiritual implement tools that we can use to put into practice what he has given us here. The injunction there in verse number 6 that exclaimed against giving that which is holy unto the dogs and against casting our pearls before the swine. Again, another case of intense spiritual focus that transcends human intellect. It's not just, well, I don't like the way that fellow looks, so I'm not going to give him the gospel. By the way, we do that sometimes, don't we? I have. I've been passing out tracts, and I see a fellow that looks particularly rough, and I think, you know what you think? You think, well, he wouldn't want it anyhow. How do you know that? You see a fellow in a suit and tie, he probably don't want it. You think he will, but he probably won't. But the gospel, when we're thinking, you know, I want to give them the gospel, or I want to give them my testimony. I want to speak a good word for Jesus here. And yet our flesh will make a judgment call many times, not having all the facts, not following the Spirit at all. It's not a spiritual decision. It's either an emotional decision or it's just we say logical in our own way of thinking that it is. And so we'll say, well, I'm not going to do it right here, right now. When we didn't ask, we didn't seek, and we didn't knock. And we may very well have judged when we shouldn't have judged. Amen. Or a lot of ways that we overstep our bounds in that. That's the point that I'm making here. And so I believe this entails a spiritual focus that transcends human intellect. Amen. It reaches into the spiritual realm. I'll say it reaches into the heavenly realm that is more than we can do in the flesh. But Steve and I have talked about the invitation system and a lot of things that involve that. And Billy Graham just recently passed away. And I'm not here just to rail on Billy Graham for any good thing he did. I'm grateful. And he did live a moral life as far as I can tell. And he did say right things as far as I can tell about a lot of things. But his practices in religion, I mean, when you send him back to the Catholic Church and say that's as good as anything, when you brag on the Pope and say he's the best Christian you know, then you don't know any Christians. I mean, just be honest, that's the truth. When you can say that your daughter is the best preacher in the family, you don't know much about preaching. I'm not an authority to rail on him, that's not my point, but I'm using his thing. But he is one of the ones that promoted it. He didn't start it. It started way before him. But he's the ones that promoted it. And they'd have people rise and they had workers in the crowd ready to come forward. And this is the theology or the psychology of it all, was that if you move, it'll help somebody else to move. Well, does the Holy Ghost need that help? How about if the Holy Ghost moves? I mean, that's what it's going to take, isn't it? Amen. That's what it's going to take. Jesus didn't say, when he went to that man at the pool of Bethesda, and you know, when the waters are troubled, they get in. Jesus didn't say to that fellow, now if you'll jump in the water, other will too, and we'll get something going. No, because there's no use jumping in the water until the waters was troubled. Amen. And as far as the invitation system is concerned, there's a lot of people come to the altar, and maybe they're praying, maybe they're wanting to get saved, and perhaps the reason they don't get help, and Brother Bell dealt with some of that real good this morning, real good, but I think sometimes it's because they didn't come when God said come, they're waiting for the man to say come. It's not when the man says come, amen, and the coming's not necessarily to the altar, coming's coming to Jesus.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there, but Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.